This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
It's been a long day. You glance at the clock as the big hand strikes 10:59 p.m. You stop to pour yourself a drink. No holding back. Only the strong stuff tonight. The crackling fire illuminates the room in a very comfortable-looking sofa. You take a closer glance. And... What's that? You see three men in bathrobes and slippers. What are you doing here?
All right. Just, here for the pod and that?
Yeah, you know, the one you listen to after, like, that stressful day you've been having.
Yeah, the one with the three idiots talking about, you know, what they've watched, what they're going to watch, probably some other stuff too.
Am I supposed to say something here, am I? Or?
Oh, for fuck's sake. You take a seat, put your feet up, and listen to your favourite podcast. Welcome to 60 Minutes to Midnight. Hello, and welcome to 60 Minutes to Midnight. And we 3 Minute Men, I've done it wrong already. It's the whiskey.
3 Minute Men.
Episode 1.
He got nervous. Bless him.
It was the end of his minute.
yes, sorry. We 3 Minute Men will be guiding you through a nice relaxing hour of reviews, whiskey, and probably a lot of puns from John. Mm. Joining me, Len, is John and Gaz.
Yeah, you're all right, mate.
Hello, lads.
Hey, mate. You're not well from the sounds of things.
I've had some whiskey, sorry. Yes, we are drinking whiskey tonight, but about that a bit later. John, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate.
Are you looking forward to this show?
Yeah, I am. There's no, like, pressure to watch stuff I don't want to watch. I'm not going to sit there and have to listen to some... read a review where they're like, oh, I thought it was brilliant, actually, versus what John was saying last week. So I'm like, yeah, go away.
Well, don't rule that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could happen. Well, I'd be fuming if I walk off.
Don't rule that out.
But no, look, I'm enjoying this. Just casual chat. Casual fireside chat. 24 degrees outside. Got the scotch going. So yeah, I'm buzzing, mate. I'm glad to just riff, to be honest.
Yeah. Gaz, looking forward to it. Any interesting developments in your life? Anything going on you want to share with the group?
All the developments, mate.
Locked
down again, so that's big.
Again.
Yeah.
Melbourne, locked down
again. We were going to do this pod together, weren't we? That was the original plan.
We were.
I was going to sit in your lap and we were going to do this together, but instead...
It's the only way he reaches the microphone,
because
otherwise, you know, he's very short.
5'8", so you know that is average.
It's amazing what I do to Gaz's voice in post production to make it, you know, the way it is. Because otherwise, it is, you're right, John, like leprechaun sort of thing going on.
I'm loving it.
Oh, that's good.
I'm loving it here with the warming whiskey, the fire crackling away. Because I mean. 24 degrees for John in London. It's about 8 degrees here in Melbourne at the moment. So.
Very true, very true. Very true indeed. Well, I have a little tale I want to tell you about yesterday. So I was on a run yesterday, and Gaz, I haven't even told you this yet, but I was on a run yesterday.
Don't exaggerate.
And, you know, I was on about the 7th kilometre of my run, right? Okay.
Yeah, third.
And
third.
Guess what? I was just running along, minding my own business. And then it was like, out of nowhere, a sniper had shot me. And I sort of stopped in my tracks, was gasping for air. A wasp had catapulted itself into my mouth, down my throat, right? No joke. stung me 3 or 4 times in the back of my throat.
What
the fuck?
Yep, serious, bro. I had to like vomit to get it out. I called my partner, Mel, who came to pick me up.
Luckily, she's a paramedic.
She is a paramedic. Almost had to go to the hospital because in case my airways started closing up. So how mental is that as a thing that happened? As a little
That's mad.
Yeah.
Weird
injury.
I'm less worried about you and more upset that you didn't tell me about that immediately.
I'm saving this gold for the podcast.
Fucking
Jesus
hell,
Christ.
Yeah, but that's a near-death experience.
Yeah, well, you've got to tell me that immediately.
I mean, it is dramatic, but it's not that dramatic. I'm here podcasting. My throat's better. I'm drinking a lovely whiskey. Talking about whiskey.
What happened to the wasp? What happened to the wasp?
I tell you what. Just a quick one before we go into whiskey.
I'll tell you, wasp.
I had the option when it was on the floor.
Bees quiet, John.
I did not kill it. I did not kill the wasp. So there you go. Good Samaritan. Anyway, enough of this absolute shambles
at the
start.
That's an impressive wasp.
enough of the shambles. Talk about whiskeys. What are we drinking? So every week we're going to make this a tradition, or every time we do this show, because this is like a once a month show, we're going to discuss what whiskeys we're drinking. We're going to have a different one each time, hopefully. I'm going to start with you, Gareth. What are you drinking tonight, mate?
Definitely Jack Daniels.
I was torn because I love a peaty, smoky whiskey. But I also like to not spend that much money where possible. So I tried to combine two.
It's very thrifty.
It's a Carlsberg.
Yeah. Bud Light.
Just wrote whiskey on the side of the can.
Probably the best whiskey in the world.
Ooh.
It's all right, that. So I got a cheap one that tastes smoky. It's called Smokehead, and it's all right. It's all right, but it's clearly been...
That's such a shit name for a whiskey.
Yeah, and it hasn't been... It's not peated. It's obviously had the smoky flavour artificially put
added
in.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say a thumbs down for the Smokehead.
Fucking hell.
Ouch.
Yeah, unless they want to sponsor us, in which case, two thumbs up.
Yeah. Seven thumbs up.
My highest score ever.
Ever. All right, John, going over to you in Blighty. How's it going over there? Whiskey.
Yeah, it's good, mate. It's good. We're, our lockdown is sort of ending, really.
Over.
I'm off to play some beer pong with their lads. There'll be other people there, honest. Just one guy just playing a beer pong. Just fucking what a loser.
On his own.
With his whiskey can.
I'm not a loser because I win every time. So,
well, yeah. So, joke's on you, actually. And you can't make me leave. You didn't have a reservation, sir. So, I'm drinking. There's a story here. So, my mother-in-law is not like other mother-in-laws in that we actually get on. And she bought me loads of whiskey for Christmas. And I was looking through 3 of the bottles that I have left. And there was one that I kind of have been saving for a special moment, and that hasn't come, so I picked a different bottle instead. So I'm drinking Glencadam,
lovely,
which is in the Lower Highlands, apparently. So it's a single malt. It's very sweet. I like a sweet Scotch. I'm not a massive fan of smoked whiskey. I have to say,
be saying that. You like the honey vibes.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, look, I just if I drink it and I'm like, oh fucking hell, I'm not a fan of that. You know, I'm pour a glass of water in there, that'll do. No Coke, but yeah, honestly, it is amazing. I mean, it's it's 10:30 in the morning, and I've had a glass of orange juice, a glass of water, and like a breakfast bar to try and like stay with it in this pod drinking whiskey. It's really good. I recommend it. Glencadam. It's like 30-40 quid a bottle. So it's a budget bottle. But fuck me, like I would give it 3 thumbs up. Yeah,
that's pretty good. Hey, just while we're on your mother-in-law, not like that. Funny little story with her, John.
Go on. This is an exclusive for the podcast. Funny little story with what's going on?
She's here.
No, this is just this is.
Gail, here, bring her out.
So as you two know, but many of our listeners will not. It was my birthday the other day.
Oh God!
And
birthday, mate.
Yeah, cheers.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy birthday, mate.
Yeah, still waiting for that present. Then
lockdown, can't get it to you. Yeah, next.
Great, brilliant.
It's a wasp, it's dead wasp.
Covered in vomit.
I got tagged. I got tagged in a photo of my friend's 30th birthday, and I was there in a picture with her and some of our other friends. And Gail chose that photo to comment on to say, "Happy birthday, Gareth. Hope you have a lovely day." Classic. But no, it's God. Lovely. Thank
That's
her
classic.
For me.
Thanks, Gail. Gail, you can go back now. Thanks for coming out. I am drinking the... So I was a bit panicked today because actually I got a new decanter ages ago and I haven't had a chance to fill it. And then we're in lockdown. I was like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't really be traveling outside the house. But I obviously followed all the rules. I went and got myself a lovely $150 bottle of Port Charlotte heavy peated single malt, which is absolutely delicious. I've actually had an idea, which has come to me live on the show. We're going to post selfies of each other with our whiskeys to our Patreon account.
So selfies of each other?
Yeah. Why? Yeah, so I'm going to take a selfie of you. No, just going to put the whiskies on our Patreon account so if people want to, you know, try the whiskies, they can see what we're drinking. You know, not just...
Well, maybe we'll post a link to where you can buy it from as well. How about that?
Yeah, 100%. We'll do
Should I do another review of Smokehead?
No one's going to choose yours now because it sounds garbage.
This is disgusting.
Anyway, right, let's get on to what this show is. And essentially what it is us guys having a drink, like we would do when we're all together back home, talking about film and TV like we used to do before we even started this podcast. And that is what we're trying to do, get back to the bare bones of what we actually genuinely just talk to each other like, and talk about things we've seen, talk about things we're looking forward to see. We've got a little section at the end of the podcast, which is quite fun too. So on that note, I thought it'd be a good note to, you know, say, what have we been watching? What? Because, you know, it's been one of those situations where people write into us and they say, are you going to be reviewing this? Are you going to be reviewing that? And actually, when we go to review a show, we put quite a lot of effort into choosing that show. We have to be very selective because we're not doing this as our day job. We have to be very selective over what shows we actually cover. And when COVID struck, obviously the whole industry sort of slowed down. You know, I listened to loads of other podcasts and they're scrambling for content because of the movie delays, and they don't necessarily want to cover some of the things that actually did make it through production, and a lot of things did get halted. And we were just like, you know, what are we going to cover? And we've decided to go down, for the moment anyway, our own original content route, which I think's much more exciting, obviously still reviewing things. And this is a great platform for us to talk about what we've actually been watching. And it could go anywhere because we all watch so much random shit. So, John, crossing over to you first.
Yeah.
What have you been watching, buddy? Let us know.
I've been watching loads of stuff. I tell you one thing that I watched a while ago, and it's...
Yeah, go on.
I've sort of been reminded of it, and I hate to say this, Gaz. There's a brilliant documentary on Netflix.
Oh, you don't hate to say this. You're delighted to say it.
Well, yeah, I'm slightly concerned, to be honest. So there's a brilliant documentary about the Yorkshire Ripper on Netflix. And the reason that I brought that up, I hadn't really thought about it. I watched it maybe like 2 months ago. Loved it. And actually, it's quite it's quite a nice like historical insight into Britain in like the 70s or whenever it was. It's so weird. It's such a different time. People are so different. Like, you watch documentaries of like Londoners in the 80s and the 70s, and they all talk a bit like that. And it's like, where did that go? I quite like that.
Where did
That's
that go?
Gone. Like, everyone was Oliver Twist, or at least the Artful Dodger.
Yeah, or Michael Caine.
But the reason that I remember the Yorkshire Ripper documentary and he knows as well. Maybe he styled his look on it. But Gaz, you've got some serious Peter Sutcliffe vibes going on. And for anyone that doesn't know, Peter Sutcliffe Google it. And maybe we'll post this picture on. I never thought we'd post a picture of Peter Sutcliffe, the Yorkshire Ripper, on any of our social media channels. But it turns out that, you know, Gaz, I mean, you're giving off serious reincarnate vibes here. What's going on with the hair and the beard?
I've seen the picture. It's uncanny.
It is mental.
And Gaz always says that he looks like Frodo from Lord of the Rings.
Definitely
yeah, maybe
not.
That was true 10 years ago. Now look at him. Now look at him. Yeah?
Yeah.
Hey, scumbag. So I think we can all agree that Peter Sutcliffe is the sexiest of all Yorkshiremen. And to be fair to me, we're in lockdown. I haven't been taking care of the beard as much as normal. It's not
he's
as well
so,
groomed.
He's such a bullshitter, because before this pod began, he was like, hey, Mr. McCann, look at my cool beard.
Check out
yeah?
my beard.
Yo,
check it out, man. Yeah.
Look how rad
Better than
it
yours.
Is.
Better than yours. All right, well, that's fine. I'll tell you what.
I'm giving off Peaky Blinders vibes. Like, I mean,
you're giving off Emmett from the Lego Movie vibes, mate. So you can...
I've never seen the Lego Movie.
How the fuck have you not seen that?
Yeah, Andrew.
I'm not doing that every week. Fucking hell. Sound of Music and the Lego Movie in one night.
You'd enjoy the Lego Movie.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, Gaz, I think you've seen the Yorkshire Ripper documentary, haven't you?
I have. I've got to say, I think that's a great recommendation. And also a really good description of it. I loved it as a, like... as a documentary of the place and the time that it's set. Although I think as well, if you have a look at certain places in Yorkshire to this day, they're still exactly the same as they were in the 70s, let's be fair. But it's amazing. Like, you could have that podcast. You could have that documentary without there being murders in it, and it would still be pretty interesting. Just a totally different time, but it's really well made, really well put together. Definitely watch it if you're into your true crime. I'm on board.
Yeah, without giving any kind of spoilers away, because I couldn't really recall how it ended. I mean, he was caught. I mean, that's a spoiler, but you know, they caught him. I couldn't recall like how they caught him. I was a bit disappointed. I was a bit like, there was a build up and then it was like, oh, right, okay. But without giving any spoilers away.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think that matters. Everything that comes before is quite the tale. And the, you know, some of the police investigations and some of the analysis of that, it's interesting stuff. Like, and that you know, that stuff, that sort of detail is stuff that I totally had no idea about, actually. But yeah, that's a good one. The other one is a little bit older. But have either of you seen the Night Stalker?
Yeah, I've seen Night Stalker. It's an interest. It's well shot. It's well produced, and it is crazy because I didn't know anything about that story in. You know, the suburbs of Los Angeles. And wow, if you don't know anything about it, I think it's very fascinating to know that this guy existed and did so many random crimes that were completely all over the place in terms of different demographics, ages, sexes. It was all over the place. But I did find the documentary tailed off a bit, but it was interesting. I did enjoy it, and it was if you don't know anything about it, Brits I think would be very like enlightened by it, because they're like it shined a light on maybe someone we didn't know. But I guess in America that story might be well known, you know what I mean? It might not have had the same sort of traction.
What was the guy's name again?
Oh.
Richard Ramirez.
That's the one.
Richard Ramirez.
Right. So, yeah. So, I mean, this is the sort of thing that fucks me off. It's the nutters that are, like, obsessed with Richard Ramirez sending him, like...
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, oh, I love you. I love how you went and fucking murdered loads of innocent people. Sending him all these, like, suggestive pictures and oh, I'd love to fuck you and all this bollocks. Like, oh, mate, honestly, Jesus. What is wrong with these people? Well, it did happen. Why? What is this obsession?
John, I've got the... is this a bad time to bring out the mailbag addressed to you? Or should I put that back?
Yeah. I'd like to fucking maim you. Oh, why?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Why can't he get any of Richard Ramirez's fans?
Yeah. But why have you sent me a dick pic anyway? I'm so baffled. Or maybe it makes sense, actually.
Sorry, it was supposed to go to Len.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Dear.
We've had a nude from a wasp here. it's a Samaritan's
deep throat. Deep throat. Deep throat by the wasp.
Oh, come on. Fucking hell. 15 minutes into our first episode and you're talking about deep throat by a wasp.
Deep throat immediately. This has gone a lot darker, a lot quicker than I thought.
Really stings.
Can we get back to the lighthearted stuff, like the serial killers?
Yeah. Oh, actually... If we are sticking on that vibe, I'll tell you what I watched last night.
Go on.
So I watched and again, I don't know if this is available on... So this was on Netflix. I don't know if it's available on Netflix US or Oz or any other of our listeners in Beirut. But
Bolivia. We were big in Bolivia once.
Yeah, you'd never Bolivia it, but we were. We were.
I can Peruve it to you, mate.
Oh, there as well. So... just trying to Argentina.
This
my brain just starts working. It abandons what I was about to say and just thinks, how can you get?
It's a bit chilly over here, so let's
yeah. But that's on. Not you're not connected. Nah. It's not connected to what we're saying.
Yeah,
come on, mate. You'll have to speak up. It's It's Argentina.
Oh, yeah. I was expecting more. Anyway, can you just let me Mexico, please? Right. So
okay.
I'm working on it.
I did say
what happens in a live show. It's this fire crackling's putting me off. So anyway, no, it isn't special effects. It's actually happening. So I watched the Nail Bomber documentary.
Nail Bomber that's new on Netflix.
Yeah. A bit of a weird one. Like on IMDb, it's getting a bit of a beating. Like it's like a 6 out of 10. I'm like, who's like giving it bad ratings, like fucking neo-Nazis or something? Like really pissing me off. I thought it was fascinating.
Yeah, IMDb is becoming more and more erratic.
Yeah,
it's not the place to go anymore, is it?
I was thinking we were going to get sued there when you just went, IMDb is just full of neo-Nazis. I was like, well, that as well. Mm. No, it isn't. It isn't. You can't prove it isn't. But you know, maybe it isn't, maybe, but it could be. So, I loved it. It's an hour and 20 minutes of, exploring the Nail Bomber in 99, I believe it was. But I remember growing up with that in London, thinking like, fucking hell, this is a bit mad. The weird thing is, cause he was a serial bomber, he was a neo-Nazi, but, I don't really remember anything past the Soho bombing, which was actually the last one. But that was another one where I was kind of looking at London, particularly somewhere like Brixton, which is, and again, this might go over a lot of people's heads in the US, but Brixton is a fairly, like, I wouldn't say affluent, but it's very gentrified now. So it's quite cool to, like, look back. Again, documentaries like this capture a culture... frozen in time. I loved it. I loved it just for that. As Gaz was saying about the Yorkshire Ripper stuff, when Gaz was saying he loves the Yorkshire Ripper. But
I just his beard.
Yeah, well, clearly, and his hair.
And nothing
else.
Stop having to go at the hair.
Just the look.
The hair looks good, mate. Yeah. My hair's fine. That's nice.
And you are a bit dead behind the eyes, like he was as well.
but that's only because of all the murders I've committed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fair.
Don't say that. That's definitely going to get complaints. All right? You can't prove he's murdered anyone. The only person that's definitely murdered someone is Len, and it was a wasp that belonged to the Samaritans. Anyway.
I let it live.
There's no way it lived. What, you vomited it onto the floor and it lived? No way, man. And if it did, it's coming back in some sort of weird revenge film. That'd be good. Anyway, so...
Not all sequels are created equal.
I think it's more worse than Netflix.
Yeah.
No, it's very good. Of course, it's fairly depressing. But no, I recommend it. I thought it was really good. Hour and 20 minutes. You know, it's not a limited series. It's just a one-off movie. Go for it. Watch it.
Len, you watched anything more lighthearted than any of these?
I was going to say yes, but then I thought about it and no. So I went to the cinema recently, right? And lovely occasion. Like, me and Gaz actually were very fortunate to go to the cinema quite a while ago now. I'd say it's probably like 4 or 5 months ago, wasn't it, Gaz, to see Tenet?
We all want to know how much you spent on sweets.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, oh my word.
You went mental.
So much. So I went with Mel, and I haven't been to cinema with Mel for a long time. And she said, we haven't eaten dinner. What are we going to do? And I said, don't worry. There's a hot food counter at the pictures, right? She said, no, there's not.
At the pictures?
At the moving picture house.
Sorry, that's a very English thing to say. At the cinema, at the movieplex. And we turn up there and... we hadn't had dinner, so I ordered like hot dog, wedges, and she was baffled by this. And it all got brought to us during the film. It was unbelievable. Gaz knows the service table in Australia. Service, it was very good. Yeah, literally table service as you go to cinema.
Your slushies, sir.
Plus, I had two things of popcorn, two slushies, and I had some crispy M&Ms. And John knows what I like to do is I like to get the popcorn and I like to pour the M&Ms into the popcorn.
Oh,
and I like to mix it all around and then gobble on it during the film. Yeah,
I'll never forget on it.
Say gobble on it, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. But when I used to take Len as his carer to the moving picture house when you moved to Australia... I've never been so embarrassed, like standing at the counter and just watching go, no, because I need to rip these open and pour this into the popcorn. There's people looking at him going, fucking hell, what a poor fella. I just had to walk off. I couldn't cope with it.
Yeah, the other one is, anyway, he always has to get the limited edition lid that goes with the slushy as well.
Oh, well, mate, if it's Star honestly, Wars, yes, yeah. 100%. So...
yeah. What have you done with that? What have you done with that Kylo Ren helmet?
It's still sitting in the cupboard. I think I'm still just depressed from the film itself. Anyway,
Kylo's helmet.
Anyway, so I went to see A Quiet Place 2. I went to see A Quiet Place 2, and anyone who's seen A Quiet Place will know that is actually a very effective sort of horror, mainly a thriller sort of film, which has a lot of great stuff in there. And
It's a horror.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I call a mass public horror. Like, it's something that anyone could go and see and they'd say, oh, that's a horror film. But really, it's not really a horror film. But
I watched this mass public horror the other day. A Quiet Place, yeah? Because that's the only one.
Yeah. So when the first one came out, there was a definite change in atmosphere when I saw it in the cinema to any other film that I'd seen before in the cinema. You could hear a pin drop. And
it's quiet.
I have this context in my head since I was a kid because I used to go to the cinema with my mum, and we've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, she took me to see Titanic and all that jazz. We've talked about this before. It's, you know,
it's a lovely date.
It's a lovely date.
I haven't seen all that jazz.
Titanic. I was very young, but my mum, you know, Gaz knows what my mum's like. She's a very interesting lady who's very passionate and, you know, says what she thinks.
I think the best way of summarizing Len's mum is that her name is Joy. And it is the most ironically named person I've ever met. You heard of nominal determinization? Have you heard of that? where like your name determines what you're going to do. So like your name might be Jonathan Plummer. Guess what you're going to be? A plumber. Footballer. She is the literal opposite of that.
Right, yeah. So anyway, when I used to go to cinema with her, and this has ingrained me since as a kid, I hate noise in cinema, like a lot of people do, but my mum used to absolutely fucking hate it. So she used to have like different names for like what people were, like people who
he's a
like,
cruncher. Alex, he's no, a fucking cruncher.
So very close, Gaff. People who had popcorn were munchers, and people who were always on their and people who were always on their phone were buzzers, right? And she used a fucking buzzer over there, Alex. Fucking muncher over there, Alex. And that's how she talks, genuinely. London, sort of like, oh, fucking hell, that's like, fucking muncher. They're
no one there, in yeah.
there.
just Len.
Just me.
Oh, sorry,
what's
mom.
That, mum? What's that, mum? No, but in all seriousness, so I have this thing in me now where I'm like, I fucking hate noise in the cinema. And, you know, luckily, I've been quite, you know, have never had a really bad experience. But when you go to see A Quiet Place, it's the first time I ever experienced a cinema truly quiet for sustained periods of time where people actually were genuinely engrossed in what they were watching because the film made them feel that way. So you go to see A Quiet Place too, and I was like, you know, I was kind of looking forward to this. I thought, if there's one film I have to go see in the cinema, actually, not because of the way it's going to look, because of the way it's going to make me feel and the way it's going to make the whole room feel, it was A Quiet Place too. And the film is absolutely as good as the first film in terms of the suspense. The way it's edited is excellent. It sort of has this cross narrative that's going on, and the tension really builds to these great climactic moments. I'm not going to spoil it too much, but I'm going to say, if you get the opportunity, and I know it's difficult because of COVID, to go and see A Quiet Place 2 in the cinema, I would 1,000,000% recommend it. Because if you enjoyed the first film, if you see this film at home or versus in the cinema, it's a completely different experience, and one that needs to be experienced in that sort of, I don't know, this room of people who are being so silent, just like literally waiting for a pin to drop. And, you know, in some scenes, stuff like that happens. And it's incredible to hear the sort of just the reaction to some of the stuff as well. And Cillian Murphy's in this one. He's added to the cast. And wow, I did not know what to expect from his performance, but it is actually mind blowing. I actually thought he was excellent in the film. So yeah, A Quiet Place 2, that's my thing that I've been like most excited for in the cinema anyway, because obviously it's been fucking bleak.
Yeah.
But it was great to see that. And if anyone can go see that, 100% do it. As I said, it's a mass public horror, which you guys make fun of. But yeah, it's something that everyone will think is a horror, but really it's like a thriller. but there's some really cool like lore elements in there. There's some like, where did these things come from? And all this sort of stuff in there. There's a little bit more added to the story, a bit of a prequel scene in there as well. So it is actually really good. So 100% recommend going to see that.
How many bloobs would you give it?
And that was a fun trip. Oh, I'd give it four, bro. I'd give it four bloobs. I actually came out really sort of happy with it. It was 90 minutes long, so the runtime's not too long. And it just felt like a great film. It just felt great and terrifying. So
any reason it doesn't get five?
Five, I think, wow. Yeah, I think to get a five, it would need to be... there would need to be some sort of message in there on top of it. There is a message. The message in the first film is about family. The message in this film is still about family, but it's about the kids growing up a bit more. And, you know, if you've seen the first one, you'll get that they're still very young and things happen and et cetera, et cetera. So it would need a little bit more to be a five. It's not a million miles off. I actually think it's a perfect runtime, perfect sort of vibe. and yeah, seeing it in the cinema is so great. I can't say, and I can't stress enough how much fun I had watching that film in the cinema. And it made me realise that, you know what? Cinema isn't dead.
On that topic, guys. What is the best, what is your best cinema experience? So like not necessarily the best film that you've seen in the cinema, but like the most, I'm so glad that I'm at this cinema to watch this film in this setting. Do you know what I mean? Like I've spoken about Blade Runner 2049 before when
great.
I was in a huge cinema, like absolutely massive, probably the biggest I've been, like extreme screen thing. And it was I went on my own, and there were literally four other people in the showing, and I reckon like packed out. It would have there could have been hundreds of people in there. There were four others, and two people left after 20 minutes. I have no idea what they thought they were coming to watch. So it was this empty cinema with like the neon green lights to show you where the stairs are and stuff, and then just this Blade Runner 2049, like, you know,
it's awesome.
Assault on the senses kind of thing. Like, oh, it was perfect. And that was the perfect setting to see that film. What's yours?
I will say, and John, you've been in one of my most amazing cinema experiences, because me and John obviously used to go to cinema quite a bit when we started this podcast, and before that, but more so when we started this podcast, to go and watch films. And there's a couple of films that come to mind, and the biggest one that like blew me away, where I was like, okay, this is an incredible place. You know, I was with a lot of the members of the podcast. I think we were with Emma and Lucy, maybe. I think we were with all of us, apart from you, Gaz, sorry, because I know you were in Melbourne at the time. And we saw Avengers Infinity War, sorry. And, you know, I won't spoil what happens.
No, I missed Infinity War. So Endgame, I was there. Infinity War, I was at Arsenal versus Atletico Madrid.
That's right. That's right, you were. So I was with Emma, Lucy.
Shell was there.
You weren't there. That's right. Mm. But then I remember that so vividly. So I was with you for Endgame. But so John wasn't there as well, Gaz. Don't worry. So you're not left out. But oh, Endgame, good. The final moments event, Infinity War, sorry, Jesus. Wow. That was just mind blowing. What was more
depressing? The end of Infinity War or the end of Arsenal versus Atletico Madrid?
Well, so that was a game we absolutely dominated at the Emirates, and we should have put the game to bed, and then we didn't, and they got an equaliser in the 90th minute.
There you go.
So I was kind of like, it was a bit cold. It was a bit of a shit night. I was like,
and you hadn't seen Avengers.
Hell, I wish I'd have just gone and see Avengers, to be honest.
Correct.
And then, I got home, and then Michelle just wouldn't, she just couldn't look at me.
Stop talking about it.
She was like, I just can't say anything. I was like, okay.
Len, I've just remembered another excellent cinema experience that was with you and my brother.
Inception, South America. No, okay, go on.
That was good. We went three times in Peru. We're in Peru and we went to the cinema three times to watch Inception in English. strange use of our time. This was when we went to watch Pacific Rim.
Oh God. That in the O2.
That was such a good experience. That was so much fun.
Yeah. Pacific Rim, silly film, great fun to watch.
So much fun.
I have so many. So just echoing on the old weird experiences, I was looking at unis, I went down to Cheltenham, got a coach down there, and I had like a little catch-up thing with a lecturer. Well, I don't know what it was. But anyway, so I was like, okay, yeah.
Catch up with a lecturer?
Yeah, because it was like you had to go through like a...
Sounds dodgy.
Yeah. No, he's fine.
You didn't even attend uni, did you? You just...
So anyway, so I was like, okay, went back to Cheltenham after having a look at the campus or whatever. My coach was 5 hours away. So I was like, brilliant. I'm going to have to kill some time here. Found a little cinema. I was like, oh, yeah, cool. So this is just like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was like, all right, what's showing? Some terrible films. And then Final Destination 2. I was like...
Logs. Jesus,
so I was like, all right, one to Final Destination 2, please. And I was like, it's on in like an hour and a half. I'm like, oh, fucking hell. So I had to just mooch about the town a little bit. And I'm not quite at that age where I can go and get a beer and stuff. Yeah. So I went in there and there was like, it's very similar to what you said. There's about four other people there. And it was a couple and then some guy in a trench coat, which worried me. So it was a very hot day. And he was sitting on his own at the front. I remember sitting there watching it going, oh yeah, this is good to kill time. But also, how fucking weird is this that I'm sitting in a cinema on my own? Like, my anxiety levels are through the roof, man. But anyway, in terms of like best experiences, definitely like, you know, the end games and all that, that's fine. Infinity War was just mental.
Star Wars,
yeah.
Force Awakens yeah, and right. Last Jedi.
Yeah, Last Jedi was good. Won't say much about the last one. But I would say when I was a kid, I went to see The Little Mermaid when I was at primary school.
Oh, God.
I went to Leicester Square, went with our class. We were in the front
row. What were you doing at the primary school?
Just spreading the word of our Lord. No, that's not a dig at the Catholic Church. It is.
Thank God you said the word of our Lord. I was terrified.
Anyway, so we're in the front row. There was a live like orchestra playing along to the film. Because I think it was like the premiere even of The Little Mermaid.
What?
Yeah. And it was like what? Like 90 or 89, something like that. That was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You played Sebastian, didn't you?
He died recently. So, you know, don't be having a go.
He did. He really did.
I'm not having a go. He was tremendous.
Yeah. No, get your claws away.
I thought he was French for years. He's Jamaican.
All right, was he a lobster or a crab?
Is he a crab or a lobster?
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Good.
I mean, he looks like a lobster. Matt. He is a crab, but he looks like a lobster.
Yeah. Like a French lobster.
Yeah. I think his name is Sebastian Lobster, isn't it? Or is that just some piss poor footballer? Anyway, so that would be my favourite cinema experience, I think, as a kid, because it just sticks with me. We're all dancing in the front row. It was great.
It's bizarre.
One last thing I'd like to talk about, what we've seen before, what we're looking forward to seeing is, I know I've asked you boys to do this, and I know you have, so thank you, is to watch Castlevania on Netflix, okay? So I'm interested to hear what your two's take is on the first few episodes.
Yours two's
take. That was a weird sentence.
What you two's... What are yours two's takes?
What are yours two's takes on Castlevania?
That's very good, actually. Aye. Very good accent. That wouldn't have gone amiss in the old Trainspotting pod. Well.
Can we make this a new feature? Yours two's takes.
But yeah, I'm interested to hear what you guys think about the first few episodes. I'm in love with the show.
So you go too far, man. Like, your reviews are so fucking melodramatic and over the top. I'm in love with the show. Fucking hell.
I'm in love with it.
John, let's tell everybody what Len said. Now, you might stand by this, mate. I think it's a big shout. You said, and I mean, it's not an anime, so it doesn't quite fit this, but I get your point.
It's similar.
You said it's the best anime that has ever been made.
He did say that.
I've actually written this.
Yes, he said
he
that,
did say
he?
That. Yeah.
I said it's up there. It's up there. It's one of the best animated shows.
No.
Here we
go. You said it is the best anime I have ever seen.
You said it's the best anime I've watched all day.
I said... In all seriousness, though, it is a great, great show. It's four seasons. The first season is very short. It's only four episodes. It's based off of the video game, but very loosely based. And I actually wrote in my note. I actually wrote in my notes here that it's the best video game adaptation I've seen, like of anything. No, but John,
you and your
me and Gaz have actually done a podcast about video game adaptations, and they're all shit. So
this is a fair point. But then that's like, well, that's not a great shout, then, is it?
No, it's definitely true. So anyway, Castlevania, obviously based on the video game, essentially set in Romania, about vampires and monster hunters trying to hunt down Dracula, essentially, and a war against Dracula's army. It sounds like, if you're not into that sort of thing, I get it. I completely understand, but give it a go, because honestly, the writing is top notch. Their animation is top notch. The
voice acting's good.
The level, the length of the episodes is like 24 minutes an episode, right? So you feel it doesn't outstay its welcome. It's very succinct
to
the point, but it also you get out of here. No, it's great. So check it out. But what did you guys think? Yeah, I know you've watched the first few episodes of the first season.
I watched episode one.
Ooh, amateur. I've seen double that.
Yeah, double. So
yeah, I've got to say I was taken with it. I was pretty keen to watch another episode, but I had to come and talk to you too about shit.
Just having on in the background.
I have been. I've just been guessing what you've been saying and saying words in response. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about at the moment. I'm just presuming because I'm watching Castlevania myself right now.
Like a marriage.
It looks. Oh my God. Yeah. Don't get me started. I'm terrible at that. It looks beautiful. Like, it looks amazing. The artwork is fantastic. I love the setting. Wallachia is a real region in Romania as well. Oh, yeah. So that got me going. The old the actual geographic accuracy of it to a certain extent. I think it's exaggerated, but pretty cool. And in that first episode, I think I'm guessing we got the foundation of the rest of the show, I presume. And like you say, actually, really concisely done. Like, they succinctly done. They managed to sort of get you to understand Dracula very quickly. Do you know what I mean? And I like that. I'm well up for watching more of
it. He speaks English. That helps.
Yeah. I want to suck your blood.
Can we put the subtitles on, please?
One bat, two bat.
Jesus, Sesame Street's gone down the fucking pan. So there's a couple of things there. Firstly, Gaz, you've just said something that reminded me of a program that I think you're going to love. So are we talking about the fact that you're expecting a child on this podcast? Is that all right now? Yeah.
Well, we can do, yeah. I mean,
inland revenue coming for you, or
Len and I are expecting a child.
We both are expecting children, not with each other, thank you. But yes, we are expectant fathers.
I want to raise your child. Anyway, so weird,
one
really weird,
child,
but
two child,
no more child. Anyway,
we stop.
So
stop spoiling episode two. I haven't seen it.
That was a really good episode of Sesame Street. Where have you got these kids from? Anyway, so there's a program on CBeebies here in the UK.
Oh yeah.
Which you're going to be watching a lot of, or similar. There's an Aussie program that's huge over here at the moment called Bluey, which I think you're probably going to watch a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But but for you especially, Gaz, there's a group called the Go Jetters. That's the program. Ooh. They love geography. Yeah.
Do they travel around?
Yeah, that's what they do. Oh, they travel around the globe. Yeah. But one of their catchphrases, one of the guys, whenever they do something great, he says, geographic! And I think
is fucking amazing. Yeah, I'm adopting that.
Fucking love this show, honestly.
100%. I'm taking that. Why haven't you told me about this
it's
before?
Quite...
Why have you waited for me to be expecting a kid?
Well, no, that's the rules. And that's also how you weed out certain people. So... Yeah, if you're in a room full of people and you go, hey, everybody, you know, have you got kids? You wait for the people that say no. You go, have you ever watched CBeebies? They go, yeah, I have. Okay, well, now we have to arrest you because you shouldn't be watching those things without kids, right? We know you are.
I thought you were going to say you're at a party and you're like, hey, has anybody tried these brownies? They're geographic.
I don't believe you. Yeah, and then it would start a geographic pun.
Peruvit. Peruvit.
There's Norway we've got more of them up our sleeve.
Very good.
Nicaragua. Nicaragua. So
this is getting Spainful.
Yeah.
Anyway, Castlevania, John.
Oh, I loved it. The initial what's the name of the lady, Lisa?
Lisa, his wife.
Kaz laughing. Fucking hell. I mean, I watched it like an hour ago. I'm not an expert.
Because you asked the question and then answered it. I was like, what's the name of the lady? Lisa.
No, as in, listen to the intonation. Lisa? I know in Australia everything ends on a high, but that was a genuine question.
That is true.
Right. Yeah, so I think it's Lisa. That initial bit, I thought, this is shite. Like, it was just so wooden. I was just like, fucking hell, this is going to be hard work.
Interesting.
But then after that,
I liked that.
Yeah, it was just a bit like why this is too quick. I'm like, I don't even know who she is, and now this Dracula's here. Like, what are you doing here? Like, fucking hell, honestly. But really good, really good. And honestly, if this fucking pod hadn't got in the way, I'd have smashed out episode 3 and 4, done season 1,
lovely,
and then I'd be off to beer pong. I'm intrigued to see where it goes. What's Belmont's first name? Trevor, isn't it?
Trefvor.
Terrible.
Trefvor. It's Trefvor. Trefvor.
So is, because I've played the first couple of Castlevania, and that's Simon, right?
Oh yeah. Essentially, yeah.
Belmont.
Yeah. Is
Belmont.
Simon Belmont. Yeah.
They're all Belmont, so you play as a monster hunter, but there is also other playable characters. I'm not going to spoil what's going to happen in the next few episodes, so just look out for them.
Right. So Trevor dies, and Simon gets involved.
Yeah, no.
Yay!
I'm thrilled that you guys actually enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see what you think, because I think if you really like these episodes, I think by the time you get into the further seasons, you're going to be like, this is actually incredible, because like John said, it's got a stilted start, but it throws you right in there, and now you're in it, I think you can steamroll it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, so I'll be honest, when I looked at when you were like, oh, go and watch it, I was like, all right, well, I looked at it and I was like, 4 seasons already. Like, I was like, definitely not. And then it was like 4 episodes. I was like, right, season 1 is 4 episodes. I was like, fine, that'll do. Like at uni, people go, oh, you've got to watch Bleach. It's so good. And it would be like, it's fucking 500 episodes. I'm not watching this. Yeah, but every episode's 60 seconds. I'm like, oh, I don't care. Like, it's just too much.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see where it goes. I liked it. It's getting better. The Belmont character is, I like him. I like him already.
So now it's time to talk about something that I think we're all looking forward to watching. Loki, which starts on Disney Plus next week, or this week as you're listening to this podcast. So Loki obviously is the latest in the Marvel series on Disney Plus, following on from, I would say, the success of WandaVision and also, Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I think both of those shows had big budgets and translated the sort of Marvel style from the big screen to the silver screen. And I think they did it to a very effective, in a very effective way. I think, you know, there's some things that we might want to discuss about how they fell down slightly, but overall they did a good job. And I think Loki, to me, is the most interesting of all three of those seasons, because Tom Hiddleston's fantastic as Loki. This is the Loki from the timeline where they all try to correct it and get the stones to, you know, reverse time and all that jazz, that disappeared with the Tesseract. The trailers look very interesting. And I think this is going to be a great summer watch for people. What do you think, boys? We're all going to be watching this weekly, aren't we?
Yeah, I'll be watching this. I think I'm hoping, because WandaVision drew me in immediately, and I loved the first half of that season, of that series. And when it got more Marvel, I liked it less. I feel like there's a little bit of Marvel fatigue creeping in for me personally, and maybe for a lot of others as well. And the reason that I was loving WandaVision is that it was really different, totally different to everything else. And I'm hoping, but I'm not. I mean, this is what I'm worried about, is that Loki's just going to be more of the same, more of the old Marvel, which is excellent stuff. Like, it, I'm not denying that it's great. It's just I've seen it all before, you know.
Well, let me.
So I'm wondering how different it can be.
Well, let's allay some of your fears, Gaz.
Oh, okay.
Len's going to like this. So someone shared this on Twitter, and it's a quote from Michael Waldron, who's the creator of Loki, in an interview that he did with Vanity Fair. He said, yep. I'd say it's something totally new. It's MCU. It was important that every episode stood alone. The Leftovers or Watchmen, which I admired so much.
Ooh.
Every one of those episodes felt like a distinct short story. That's the sign of a great episode of TV. Oh, it's that episode of Loki. If you're wondering how delightfully weird Loki might get, Waldron mentions the lion sex cult boat episode of The Leftovers. It's a Matt world as a personal favourite. So Gaz,
oh my God.
You know, some of your fears potentially, you know, put to rest, and obviously Len is now buzzing.
I've got an erection.
Yeah,
about
I can
this.
See. Can you put some pants
I
on?
I thought that was the bottle.
Loki has just referenced two of our favourite shows of all time, Watchmen, and which obviously is how we formed as the Minutemen, and how this show is even a thing, and Leftovers, which you every listener of ours knows I talk about every fucking 5 minutes, the greatest show of all time. That has got me so excited. I had not heard that quote. And now I'm jazzed. I'm having another whiskey. That's right. I'm pouring it right now.
Ooh, well, that is the end of the episode. So
that is the end of the episode. Len was too drunk to record the rest of this episode. But that genuinely has
Get
got me really
the
excited,
car.
John.
Yeah, no. So he's not drink driving. God.
Get out of the way, you fool.
I'm going to see Michael Waldron. He's not in this country.
Yeah, that's great quote, good research.
That is great, and those episode references for The Leftovers, by the way, sound bizarre. The boat one, season 3, crazy. But he's right. They and Watchmen's the same. They all had those episodes a self-contained sort of narrative within the episode, and they all felt like they told us such a coherent story. Damon Lindelof, once again, absolute genius. He's obviously referring to his work. You know, some episodes of Lost also had that beautiful sort of bookending in each episode. I'm thinking of episodes like The Constant with Desmond, but Lost had a problem where they had to have 24 episodes in a season. It's ABC. They had to fill it out, and that was always the prerogative.
The macro story was not as good as the micro stories.
Exactly. Exactly correct, Gareth. And that was where Lost fell down. I'm actually going to start my Lost rewatch this week, so I'm very excited about that. Yeah, wow, that's got me buzzing for Loki. Gareth, it's time to move on to a new segment that we've been curating here at Fan Critical and as the Minutemen. It's time for Underrated, Overrated. Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's underrated? Hey, have you seen Ghostbusters 2? Do you think it's overrated? That's the segment here for you now. It's underrated, overrated, yeah.
Hello, welcome to Overrated, Underrated. This is where...
Yay! Yeah?
Len, you have your hand up. Is that... Did you have a question?
I thought it was underrated, overrated. I thought that was the order.
He's right.
I'm going with overrated, underrated. I'm going alphabetical.
Right. The jingle just said.
Yeah, that's all right. That's fine.
Okay.
We'll have to redo the jingle. It could take a few weeks.
I'm not redoing the jingle. Anyway, crack on.
So, welcome to Overrated, Overrated.
Yay!
This is where...
Yay! Yeah.
Yeah. Huzzah!
I've got... I'm bringing a couple to the table today, so one overrated thing and one underrated thing. Now I say thing because I think originally the concept for this was it was going to be a film or a TV show, but I've immediately branched out And don't panic. Don't worry. It fits. It works. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to bring it to the table and see what your thoughts are. Is it a ludicrous shout or is it? Does it have legs? Is there method behind my madness? Right. First of all, overrated. I'm going to give you a movie that I think is incredibly overrated. And it's actually The Thing. Reflection upon this movie.
The Thing?
What?
Not John Carpenter's
version. No. Settle down. That's excellent. That is excellent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. That.
Overrated.
This is the film that inspired the idea. I was reflecting upon this film. I'm just going to tell you.
Go on.
It's The Hangover.
Oh,
it's not very funny. I honestly think at best it's a Three Blueberry movie for me. I do not understand how it became like this cultural phenomenon, and it has, and it annoys me so much that it sort of defines comedy for our generation, and I just don't think it's that funny. Like, that's all I can say about it is I can't give more of a technical analysis.
I
just don't think it's very funny.
So it's not intelligent. It's not intelligence. It's not intelligently funny. It's fairly basic. I mean, I loved it when I saw it at the cinema, I've got to say. But unfortunately, it's one of those films that sort of, it's like it's captured in time. Like, you enjoy it the first time you see it, and then it's done. Yeah. It is a bit weird that it went on to be this kind of big thing, I guess. But that says a lot about the quality of films that have come out in like the last. Certainly, in terms of comedies, what do you think about comedies that have come out in the last 10 years?
Like, so I'm going to acknowledge comedy. I think is really hard, and I don't think there are many great comedy films. I think that the best comedy films are actually films that aren't marketed as comedy films. They're great films that have humor in them.
It depends how good they are. Like the Monty Python films. Is just, there's like another level to like how fucking good they are, and they're timeless.
Yeah.
If something's funny in the comedy 70s and it's still fresh as now.
That is weird, though, isn't it? Because a lot of... I had the entire Monty Python collection, right? A lot of the stuff on the Flying Circus isn't that funny. Like, they've got a lot of stuff that just falls so flat. But they pull it all together for their films. Like, Holy Grail is incredible.
Yeah, so Flying Circus you could describe as them just throwing all of their ideas. It's like just throw all of their shit out there and see what sticks. What doesn't help is that laughter track. So, if you're watching Flying Circus and you've got people pissing themselves in the background, but then you watch something like And Now for Something Completely Different, where it's just a lot of the same sketches, but without laughter, I find it a lot funnier. Like, imagine watching The Office with people going, ah, ha, ha, like fucking Partridge, people pissing themselves at Brent. You'd be like, oh, this is terrible. You'd hate it.
Yeah.
Going
back to The Hangover, I would say that the original, like John said, is actually phrased appropriately, captured in time. I actually still really enjoy the original Hangover. I think there's a lot of things in there which are genuinely quite funny. I think the story is a good setup for a film. It's a good setup. And I remember watching it with my brother, and the first time I saw it, and I've got fond memories of watching it because we were both laughing and enjoying it. And me and my brother don't usually watch the same sort of films. Yeah, we both like zombie apocalypse films and, you know, trash zombie TV because that's just what we're into. But other than that, there's no crossover. So it was actually really, yeah. So The Hangover was a nice crossover for us. So I've always got a fond memory of it. Hangover 2, terrible. Hangover 3, terrible. Yes, it should never have. One of the worst sequels of all time, you know. Easily. So I think the original's okay, and I think it holds up. I don't think it's amazing now, and I wouldn't watch it out of choice, but you know what? It's okay, and I've got fond memories of it. So maybe it is slightly overrated.
Yeah, It is overrated, but that doesn't mean that it's a bad film. How about that?
It's not a bad film. It's a three bloob.
I think it's a three bloob at best, which, yeah, like you say, that's quite a good score. I think Bridesmaid's better than it.
No way, man. No way. Yeah,
I do.
No way, Gareth. I have to agree with John on that.
That is genuinely massively overrated. But I understand why.
And that is that'll be captured in time as well. You give it 5-10 years, that's captured in time. Same situation.
But I understand why it's so popular. And that popularity has driven up this narrative that it's brilliant. It isn't. It really isn't. And actually, so some of the people in that are much better than that film as well.
Don't even get me started on Pitch Perfect. Don't even get me started.
All right, save that for your underrated next time. Shall I tell you something that I think is underrated?
Go on. It's a thing, is it?
Well, here's where I've gone a bit rogue, because I've immediately...
Follow the script.
As a kind of tee up. So when you say something's underrated, why don't you give us a what you think you think the majority score is, what versus what you think the score is? Because you could say something's underrated because you think it's a five blue movie, and then it's like, well, it's definitely not. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, overrated, I feel like, for a lot of people in our demographic, The Hangover is the greatest comedy of all time. Like, I honestly think a lot of people think
that's,
that.
Yeah, that's diabolical.
And it's...
Yeah, I don't think that's true, though, but okay.
People have got angry at me for saying I didn't think it was a masterpiece. So, anyway. Underrated. It's hard for me to give a score on this. I would say that... when you hear what it is, you'll understand why it's hard for me to tell you what I think people are going to score it. I'd say maybe people think that this is a three blueberry thing. Whereas I think, actually, when you look at it and you analyze this properly, this person is probably a five blueberry actor. And I think this person has turned into a joke figure because of their beliefs and some of their controversies.
Oh, yeah.
But when you look at their back catalogue, and in fact, even some of the films that they've made in recent
Tom
years...
Tom Cruise, isn't it? Tom Cruise.
I'm going to read out a list. And this is not an exhaustive list. These are just films that I saw and I was like, these are great movies.
It's Nicolas Cage.
The Outsiders, Top Gun, Rain Man, A Few Good Men, Mission Impossible, Vanilla Sky, Minority Report, The Last Samurai, Oblivion, Edge of Tomorrow. There are so many good films in his back catalogue. Tom Cruise does not deserve to be the joke figure that he is for his acting abilities. He does deserve it for being really...
What about his height?
Weird and shorter than me.
You know, what annoys me is you've used your one segment to push this fucking height agenda where it's like, no, but 5'6 is average. It isn't, mate. In some obscure islands, he is shorter 200 years ago, maybe, but not now.
But thoughts, Tom Cruise as an actor?
I actually really like a lot of films that Tom Cruise is in. I love The Last Samurai. I actually think... I like Jerry Maguire. Jerry Maguire, which should be on that list instead of Oblivion, for example.
Should be.
Oblivion, he plays a sort of stock character, not much range or anything like that. Cocktail should be on there. Risky Business.
Cocktail,
fantastic
Risky
film.
Business. Yeah, exactly. I said
Young Tom Cruise, absolutely 1,000,000%. And even now, some of the stuff that he does in the Mission Impossible series, he actually does his own stunts. They're fucking insane, some of these stunts, right? So he's a bit of a petrol head as well. He loves like motorbikes, cars, planes. He does the plane stuff in Top Gun. He does these things. So he's fantastic in terms of that. I think I personally would happily, and I talk about Sunday movies all the time, would watch most of his movies on a Sunday just chilling out. You know, could be Risky Business, could be Jerry Maguire, yeah. Could be Cocktail. Do I think he's underrated? I don't think he's underrated. He is top list A-list. Like, if he's in a film, he usually does very well. I don't think people criticise him that often. I haven't had a conversation where people criticise him that often. For me, you know, he's had a couple of duds. You know, like, what's that other one, John?
Jack Reacher.
Based on the book series by Tom Clancy. Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher's not great. Jack Reacher 2, not great. The Mummy, terrible.
Jack Reacher 7?
Like, don't ruin a film. Jack Reacher 7, terrible. You know, so he's got some duds in there.
Austin
but let's
Powers
put it this way.
Is in that.
Yeah. The worst one.
His filmography is actually very good. And like old school 80s Tom Cruise, 90s Tom Cruise. Wow, that's some good stuff. There's some really good stuff in there. So for me,
I think he's made hit films in every decade that he's worked as an actor. I don't think he's underrated, but it definitely comes back to that, like, yeah, but he's just a nutter, isn't he? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is it people like, yeah.
The Mel Gibson vibe.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, see, Mel Gibson's got a little bit more going for him because as a director...
My nipples are so hard!
For anyone that's not watched South Park, they're going to be so baffled at that. Just went off on one.
That's a South Park reference. Yeah.
I mean, Mel Gibson's at least got the director chops as well, where they're like, fucking hell. I mean, Apocalypto, Jesus, man. How good is that?
Apocalypto. Oh, yeah.
That's a
great movie. Yeah. Great movie.
That's an underrated movie.
I'll tell you what, Matt. Yeah, massively. I don't think Tom Cruise is underrated. I think people want him to be rubbish. I think people want him to fail.
Yeah.
But yes. he is very good. I mean, he's filming Mission Impossible, I don't know, 7 or 8. I remember they were joking about this on the Ricky Gervais show years ago, and it's 7. Actually turned out to be true.
Yeah.
He's filming it in like a little village in the UK somewhere. That village has gone mental for him. Like, they're all trying to get selfies with him. They're like changing their shops to like Tom Cruise stuff. Like, they're absolutely loving it.
Of course they would. But if Kevin Spacey turned up to a tiny little English village, they'd do that as well.
I wouldn't have thought so.
I think that there is a snobbery about Tom Cruise in like the world of critics and
maybe
hipster film fans would never be like, oh yeah, I'm going to go see the Tom Cruise movie.
But what's funny is those hipsters back then in the day were watching things like Risky Business, you know,
Money,
which was a sort of breakout films for him. So, I agree with John. I don't think he's underrated, but I do think that people think he's not very good. And then they see the films that he's in still to this day. And the Mission Impossible series, yeah, you joke that it's on 7. They get better and better every time. It's like the Fast and Furious series. They're good. Yeah. The stunts are good. It's you know, leave your brain at the door, have a good time. And you have a great time with them.
Whose brain's this?
But yes, Gareth. Pick it up.
Oh god.
Anyway, so yes, thank you, Gareth. That was underrated, overrated. Next time will be either me or John. Who knows? We'll figure that out off microphone.
Good.
And that's it. That was your first episode of 60 Minutes to Midnight. It started at 60 Minutes to Midnight and it finished at around about 12:15. So we're in the next day now. Sorry about that. It turned out that we had lots to talk about. And yes, it might go longer than an hour. Who cares?
Stoke the fire. Don't worry about it.
Just, fall asleep to our dulcet tones.
Yeah.
And John as well. He's here.
Couple of things to mention before we leave. And yeah, you can turn off now, but if you do, you're a coward. So listen. Yeah? Okay. Firstly, if you're subscribed to any one of our other channels.
Oh, what? You scared? You scared of listening to the end?
Listen on.
Bet.
Turn it off.
If you're subscribed to any of our other channels, that could be Watchmen Watchers, it could be Lovecraft Country Critical, it could be Castle Rock Critical, it could be Bastards and Broken Things, it could be...
I forgot about that one.
Any of the other ones. Yeah, there's channels out there, Gareth. Please do subscribe to our main channel, which is called Fan Critical. I'll put a link in the description. It's also on any podcast app. All you have to do is search Fan Critical. That'd be amazing. That's where all of our main content goes. Not only that, this new format and the way we're able to make shows every week is mainly due to our amazing Patreons who have been so for so lovely and have been able to provide us with some money, you know, monthly, which has been
just
fantastic.
All about that, isn't it?
You can go to
thank you, Mr. Money. Oh, sorry, sir.
if you don't pay,
yeah, go on.
If you don't pay for Patreon, you're a coward as well.
don't pay.
No, we love him.
If you listen to the end, you'll automatically subscribe to pay $5 a month.
That's not true. Stay on the line. But yes, patreon.com/fancritical. We love all of our listeners, but if you can,
quick,
please
hang up the phone.
Oh dear.
Well, anyway, thanks for being a Patreon. And if you're not, you're a coward.
Yeah, thank you for being a Patreon. Anyway, but if you please could spare any additional dollars, then you can go to patreon.com/fancritical. On there are options where we're going to be posting a lot more content. There's cast episodes. There's about 25 on there at the moment where we've recast films with different actors. It's a short podcast, but they're very fun. You can also contact us anytime on the messages on Patreon or via Discord. Not only that, you get access to other content, which we're going to be posting very soon. Like I said, the whiskies that we're drinking tonight, a picture of Gareth looking like a Yorkshire, the Yorkshire Ripper, which is, you know, that's great content. Name another podcast where you get that. Go on.
Well,
didn't think you could.
That's absurd.
Anyway,
I'm not in any other podcasts.
So yes, patreon.com/fancritical. And the last thing I'd say is spread the word of this podcast. If you do enjoy listening to it, please do tell your friends, forcefully ram this podcast down their throat
like
the
a wasp
that hit me on my run. Yes, Gareth, that would be amazing. So please do spread the word of the podcast. That would be incredible.
Can I just say this? We wouldn't rather, but if you're not going to spend $5 a month, tell 5 people about us.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's
that,
free.
That costs nothing, in a way.
Yeah.
Don't go around knocking on people's doors, because let's all face it, we don't want that. But, you know, tell them in passing.
If you're up for it.
In a way. If you're up for it, do what you want. But the Book of Fan Critical, just walk around. Have you heard about these people? Imagine that if we started out as like some sort of cult religion in America because of that.
Can we tell you about our Lord and Saviour, Peter Sutcliffe? I mean, Gaz.
Get out.
Oh, God. Anyway,
stop talking
about
him.
Thank you to... stop talking about him. I want to say thank you to Gaz. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, mate.
I want to say that to John.
Cheers, mate.
The time is now 20 minutes past midnight. everyone has had a drink. They've had a lovely time by the fire. Get yourself to bed. Go on. Get a nice kip in. And then we'll see
sleep
you next week.
Sleep forever.
Bye, guys.
No, don't sleep forever.
See you next time.
Jesus, that's dark. That's dark as fuck.
Don't finish.
Anyway, night night.
Sweet dreams.